verses 45 through 54. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, what this was the Son of God.
So proud each one of you are here, especially if you're visiting with us. We're so honored that you're here, and we're having a fellowship meal after our services today, and we invite you to stay for that and be part of that period of fellowship. And the good news is after that, y'all get to hear me again immediately. But it's always real short. You know, it doesn't last long, so I don't put you through a lot. You know, it's funny, yesterday Keith and I and Wendy and Scarlett, we went out to eat last night. We had a double date yesterday, I guess is what you call it. Had a large time. Is that what you say, a large time? We had a large time. We eat good, at least a couple of us did. We eat good, and then we come back, and we got back to what we used to do. We used to call it madness, really, because there for a while we got so hooked on Rook that we would play two or three times a week. Well, we come home last night, and we played Rook, and it was the same outcome it always is. Keith and I won, and that's not a shock to anybody, but we got to talking last night. Miss Margaret Barlow, her and Aunt Millie beat me and Keith so bad back here in this fellowship hall one time. We had a game night. And she rubbed it in pretty good. And I remember one time I was visiting with her, we was talking about playing Rook, and she said, You really acted like that bothered you. I said, I wasn't acting. It bothered me. It bothered me that y'all just put us in our place and we couldn't do any good against you. But it's good memories, good memories. You know, when you have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, it's always good to look back and cherish those thoughts, those moments that we have. And we all can do that on different people, but we remember things whenever we're close. And let's always try to be close with one another. And let's make every effort we can to have fellowship, have love, and have like mind, and that way someday down the road when something happens to me or something happens to you and we look back on memories, we got happy memories and good times that we can turn back to. You want to be strong, don't you? You want to be strong. You know, I've always wanted to be strong. I've always wanted to be that person where if something's going wrong or something needed to be done, that I took care of it. Last week, Wendy and I ran up to Illinois one day and dropped off some parts and turned around and come back the next day. But the night before, Jacob and Chase was helping me load the truck, and Jacob and went to get something. I forgot what it was, and Chase was up in the truck, and we had a fire hydrant, well, half of a hydrant. I don't want to brag. It was half of a hydrant laying there on the floor, and I don't know. It was from me to David, and I told Chase, just stay where you're at. I'll get it and hand it to you, and you know, situate it up in the truck. And I reached down to grab it. Oh, I felt it. I felt it. But I wasn't going to give up, my friend. I come up with it, and I walked over the truck. And Chase, I forgot what he said. He just said, well, whatever. He said, I don't know why you do that. But I didn't want to fall short. I wanted to be strong. But it's just not physical strength that I want. I want to be strong. I want to be strong for my family. And, you know, we all go through trouble in our life. We have issues that come our way. You know, if you got children, you know how precious they are. We've got some young babies here and young people here, and look at how precious they really are. And what we want more than anything as parents and grandparents or just friends, members of the church, we want to be strong for our youth. And oh, how we hurt when they struggle. If there is a sickness, we hurt. Because what we want more than anything is for that child to be healthy and to be happy. If there's a death, we struggle with that because we want to protect our children. We want to be strong. If our young people is being tempted or fell to the temptation of drugs or drinking or other temptations that come their way in life, we want to be strong and we want to be an encouragement to them. We want to show people how Jesus can make a difference in our life, and we want to show our young people what he means to us and that we can have strength. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's important that we think about that, and we think about how important it is, A, that we turn to God, that we turn to Jesus, and that we understand how strong we can really be. I want to say that again. It's important that we realize how strong we can really be with Jesus. You see, we don't have to fall. We don't have to be weak. Now, we're going to have weak moments, but with Christ, we are strong. And as we build that relationship and we build our faith and we build our trust in God, we're going to become stronger and stronger and stronger each and every day. You know, I told y'all a few weeks ago that since June was going to be the month that I finish up here, and I was going to preach some of Jay's sermons out of his book. And that's what I want to do today. And as I thought about his sermon this week, and I studied his sermon this week, and I put my thoughts to it, I could not help but think about how strong a person must be to get through this life. We have to be strong mentally. We have to be strong physically. We have to be strong spiritually in our life, because we are being challenged from time to time. Jay, in the introduction of his sermon of There's Power in the Blood, he talked about how important it was to have blood. You know, he never thought in his life that he would get to a point that he was dependent on going and getting blood put into his body. But in that introduction, he talked about the idea how weak he would get when his blood got low. And as he would go to St. Jude and they would put the blood back to him, you could see the color come back in him. You could see the glow come back to him. And if I can say this, you could see the fight come back in him. It's just a difference of being strong or being weak. And when we get weak, we lose our fight. But as long as we have that blood, as long as we have that life, and blood is life, as long as we have that, we know that we can be strong. There's a song in our song books. I looked at it a few minutes ago. There's power in the blood. Here's the first four verses. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Oh, don't we want that? Don't we want to be free from the burden of sin in our life? That's what makes us weak. That's what drags us down. And we want to be free from that. We want sin out of our life. The writer of Hebrews says, lay aside that weight. Run with patience. You know, I know you can tell by looking at me, I'm not a runner. But I can picture a runner. And I can think about a runner trying to run a marathon race and him having a backpack on and a bunch of weight or a lot of things he's got strapped to him. And as he's trying to run and endure this race, endure the competition that he has, how much he would really like to take some of the weight off. Because after all, it would make a difference in his performance. It would make a difference in his race that he's running if I could just lay all this aside and just run with myself. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, take the weight of sin off. Put that off and lay it aside because you don't have to carry it with you. Did you hear that? We don't have to carry that weight of sin with us through our life. But sometimes people want to hold on to it. They want to grab a hold of that sin, and they will not turn loose of it. The second verse in that song says this, would you be free from your passion and your pride? Are we willing to commit ourselves to God? Are we willing to give our life to Jesus? The verse we started with, or I started with, we'll get to what Jack read in just a few minutes. There's the strength that we have comes from Christ. We have to give ourselves to God. We have to give ourselves to Christ. And we've got to be willing to take Him into our heart, into our life, and say, this is the way that I'm going to live. The third stanza says, would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Oh, how sin makes a mess of our life. I think about a week or two ago, I preached a sermon. We talked about the prodigal son, and we talked about wanting to eat with swine and how we get to a point in our life that we realize we've just gotten dirty. We don't even look good anymore. We don't even want to look at ourselves in the mirror anymore because of the sin that we have in our life. And this song is telling us, would you be whiter? We want to be white, pure as snow. Not a mark, not a trace, not a sin on us. And then the fourth says, would you do service for Jesus, your King? Do you ever think about Jesus being your King? You know, we live in America and we don't think about a king and we don't think about a queen and we don't think along that line. But do you really think about Jesus as your King? That I'm going to bow to Him and I'm going to serve Him. That I'm going to dedicate my life to Him. You know, all of us should have already done that in our life, or most all of us, if we're old enough. We bowed to Jesus and we said, you are our King. Well, when you think about these four verses, how do we get free from the burden of sin? How do we get rid of that pride? How do we get white as snow? It's through the blood of Jesus. 2 points I want to mention this morning. And then the lesson will be yours, and we can take it and we can apply it to our life, but I hope that it will challenge us. And the first point, I don't think that we can go to the second without the first, because we have to understand about sin. There is power in the blood, but there's also power in sin. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we don't ever need to underestimate the power of sin. You remember what that just said? It said, for the wages of sin is death. I started off talking about how that we want to protect and how that we want to be strong and how that we want to be the person that people could lean on in hard times. We don't want bad things for our children. We want to be strong for them as they face temptations, as they face problems. Sin brings about one thing, death and destruction. And if a person lives their life and they don't recognize or they don't give consideration to how much power sin really has, that sin will consume us. It'll sneak into our life. It'll take over our life. Paul went further in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. He said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived. Don't go through life saying this is not the way it is. Have you ever played a trick on someone? Sure you have. Most everybody has. Kid with somebody. But what about yourself? Have you ever played a trick on yourself? Fooled yourself? Deceived yourself? You know, we do that when we allow certain things in our life and we begin to justify or we begin to change those things in our thoughts or in our actions, and we think or we begin to tell ourselves it's really not that bad. You know, I've talked to a lot of people over the last 30-something years that I've been preaching. And sometimes when you sit and talk to people and you know they're struggling with their Christian life, they're struggling with their relationship with God. And when you sit down and you get into the heart of the conversation, you get down to where the struggles are in their life. It hurts when someone says, well, it's just not really as bad as you think. Folks, if we have something in our life that's separating us from God, it is that bad. It's that bad. If you're sitting here this morning, you're not in the right relationship with God. You've got a struggle in your life. You've got something from keeping you from being as close to God as you want to be. Then that is a problem. Matthew records in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. It says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. There's power in sin. And we've got to protect and guard against it. Then the second and the last point I want to mention, after we recognize the power that's there with sin, we can recognize the power in the blood of Jesus. If you haven't already, turn to what Jack read for us in Matthew chapter 27. He started in verse 45 and he read down to verse 54. Think about the power that God has. Think about the power that Jesus has. Think about what happened on that day when he hung on that cross. If you're there and you look at verse 45, there was total darkness. You know, something had happened. Something had happened that day because it was a normal day. And verse 45 talks about the total darkness. Then you skip down to verse 51. And it talked about the earth quaking. There was an earthquake. Verse 52 said the graves opened up. Then in verse 54 that Jack read for us, it says, truly this was the Son of God. What does that mean, Tim? What it means was it demonstrates that how much power that Jesus had. Because of sin, because of those people, and because of us today, because of the sin that we have in our life, it was a very, very powerful day that God Himself came. He took upon a form of a man just like me and you. Why? Because He loved us. Why? Because He knew that we could not live without sin in our life. So Jesus took that sin upon Himself. You know, a few minutes ago, I talked about the Hebrew writer, how he said, lay down that weight. Well, Jesus took the weight up. He picked it up Himself, and He said, I'm going to carry your weight, and I'm going to carry it to the cross. And He went there, and He bled, and He died. Well, how much power is in the blood? Well, first of all, it can wash away our sins. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, it says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Then Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How much power is in the blood? It's enough power to take away our sins. I want to be strong. I want to be the strength that my family needs, and I want to be the strength that my friends need. I want to be some strength for the church. There's not a one of us that can be strong for anyone. if we're weak spiritually. The Bible tells us what we have to do in order to be a child of God. Matter of fact, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you tired this morning? Are you tired of wondering what your relationship is with God? Are you tired of wondering when you're going to come back to God? Are you tired of wondering, am I going to have enough days left? If I keep putting off becoming a Christian, or I keep putting off coming back to God, am I going to live long enough, or is the Lord going to let the earth stand long enough for me to come back home? You know, Charles, that's a heavy weight. That's a heavy weight for someone to be sitting in a pew this morning and say, I know I need to be right with God. I know I'm not in the right relationship with God, but I'm going to wait a while. And Jesus is standing there saying, come unto me. Come now, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you that rest. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We've got to have a belief in our heart that we believe that about the blood that we're talking about this morning. We got to be willing to turn away from sin. Now, we can't continue in sin, that this grace that we're talking about because of this blood that Jesus said that shed for us, we can't continue in sin that grace may abound. Paul said, God forbid that we continue to live like we've been living. Because we recognize the love of God, because we recognize the love of Jesus, we're going to change the way that we live. Now, we're still going to have struggles. But we're going to dedicate ourselves to being faithful to God. And turn away from that sin. Walk away from sin. And that's what the Bible calls repentance. Got the Bible the other day. I downloaded the Bible on my phone. Wendy and I was coming home, and she was getting her a nap. And I hit my phone, the Bible, and I started listening to it going down the road. I got an earpiece that goes in my ear. And I was just sitting listening to it. And I started in the book of Acts. And I sat and listened to several chapters. And one thing I noticed about, I called David and told him about it. And we talked about it a little bit. One thing I noticed about Peter and his preaching and his teaching. And you probably already knew this. And I assume I did at some point. But I forgot it. If you look at his sermons, you look at his teachings when he started that. He always told the people, look, y'all crucified Christ. He didn't use those words, but that's what he was saying. He was saying, look, you are the ones that crucified Christ. That wouldn't go over very well today, would it? To walk up in front of a bunch of people and say, you know, y'all crucified Christ. But since I've only got 3 weeks left, let me try it. Y'all crucified Christ. Every one of y'all. And so did I. Peter got a response of 3,000. First day he said it. But those people was willing to take it in their heart. It says they were pricked in the heart. One version said cut to the heart. Cut to the heart because of the sin that they had in their life. And it's nothing they wanted than to be in the right relationship with God. They didn't want hell. They wanted heaven. They wanted forgiveness of their sins. And that's what repentance is. And confess Jesus' sweet name, that he is the Son of God. He's King. He's King, and I'll bow down to him. Then you can be baptized today for the remission of your sins. If you're struggling today in any way, we can help you, we can encourage you, we can pray with you, or whatever the case may be, we want to help you. Let it be known while we stand and sing.